Man, this is Deion Dawkins, man. And you're listening to The Scoop on OwlScoop.com. You already know.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Scoop, OwlScoop.com's podcast, Season 9, Episode 30. And if you're a longtime subscriber to The Scoop and a listener of The Scoop, you might have noticed some new intro music there.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a change of programming here.
Yeah, yeah. You got to keep things fresh.
Absolutely.
And we have been guilty of using that same intro music, that knockoff U2-esque guitar riff, like a generic guitar riff from The Edge from U2. Been using that for a little too long. We need to spice things up. What did I say? That sounds like a mix of like the Action News theme song and maybe like something from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Yeah, I think that might be a little too far back of a reach for to compare it to what we just heard, but you know, it's all right. It's okay.
So you're calling me old?
No, I would never.
Yeah, you just did.
Well, indirectly.
You just did. John DiCarlo, OwlScoop.com editor with Declan Landis and Ramir Vaughn. Johnny Zwizlak, Kyle Gauss could not be with us today. Johnny is now fully entrenched in baseball season now. And I mean, he's still going to be on The Scoop in coming weeks, but he's down at Citizens Bank Park today working. But we've got a lot of good stuff ahead for you. A lot more of a spring football heavy episode. We'll have some audio from Temple running backs coach Tyree Foreman. We had the chance to watch Saturday's practice over at the Star Complex in its entirety. Declan and Ramir, you guys were over at Pro Day yesterday. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. We know, of course, that Jordan McGee is, you know, barring anything unforeseen, is probably going to get drafted. You guys feel that a couple guys might have helped themselves yesterday. Maybe they won't get drafted, but might have pushed themselves from the outer limits to maybe rookie free agent territory. Got some mailbag questions coming your way as well. The Scoop, as always, is brought to you all by Greenspan and Greenspan Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured while on the road or the highway and the crash was someone else's fault, the insurance company is not going to be on your side. You need us, Temple Law grads, who will fight hard to get the compensation that you deserve. We only get paid if we win, so in Pennsylvania or New York, call us today at 215-261-7359. That's 215-261-7359. And you can find them on the web at greenspans-law.com. That's greenspans-law.com. Those of you who might be listening to us for the first time, I know a couple friends just anecdotally have asked me where they can find us. Yes, we are on all the major podcast platforms. So if you get a chance, subscribe, rate, review. You can drop mailbag questions in there as well. You can leave comments. That helps as well. Of course, you can leave mailbag questions on Twitter. And if you're an OwlScoop.com subscriber on our message boards, a lot of you know that already. But our listenership has continued to grow. Really, really appreciate that. And I think are we also going to do, instead of famous number 30s, are we officially scrapping that and we're going to go to on or around this date?
I think we should do both today, you know, and we'll have the listeners decide what they like better, you know, because I've got a couple conversation topics surrounding on this date, you know, that we could dig into.
Do you want to handle on this date?
I can. I'd be happy to.
We'll do the famous, you want to do famous number 30s first?
Sure.
I mean, what do you have?
Steph Curry is an obvious one.
Yeah.
Bernard King. Knicks legend.
Another number 30, first name of Bernard, who played football at Temple.
Bernard Pierce.
There we go.
Yeah. Nope, that's all I got for you. You're welcome.
Ramirez got a few in the chamber. I know he does.
Corey Clement. Mm-hmm.
What other Eagles running back wore number 30? Going back farther than that, 90s. How well do you know your Eagles history? He was in a backfield with another running back, and they called themselves Thunder and Lightning.
I have a name in my head, but I'm not 100% sure.
What is it? Just go with it. This is a safe space.
Wilbur Montgomery.
No, Wilbur wore number 31.
Ah, I was close.
Put that in the chamber.
Yeah, for next week.
Keep that in the chamber.
What if you're like really anxious about sharing that name next week? You're like, yeah, we retired the number segment. Too late. His initials are CG. After the Eagles, he played for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Played at Tennessee. Charlie Gardner.
I was never getting it.
Okay. At least you're honest. On or around this date, Declan, what do you have for us?
Thank you so much for asking.
You were throwing some interesting news and notes our way before we started recording. Your eyes are aglow.
So we'll start in 1827. That was a year. And unfortunately, in 1827, the famous or infamous, depending on who you ask, composer Ludwig von Beethoven passed away at the age of 56 in Vienna. You might know Ludwig von Beethoven from the music he made.
We were
I don't know what they're called. One of the symphonies.
We were hoping to open the scoop with either Beethoven's fifth or a fifth of Beethoven, which was on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Real good song. I'm not familiar, but I
wouldn't expect you to be familiar unless you've seen Saturday Night Fever.
I don't believe I have, unfortunately. In 1973, this might appeal to some certain audiences here, including myself, particularly when I am sick and need to watch midday television. The soap opera The Young and Restless premiered on CBS TV.
Young and the Restless. The Young and the Restless.
Whatever. Appeared on CBS TV. Premiered. So,
1973.
Shout out to The Young and the Restless. Thank you very much.
John Kincaid's a big General Hospital guy,
big
right?
Big General Hospital guy, yes. And I told him I would binge it before understanding what the undertaking was.
I don't think
binging 30 years worth of
television.
Yeah,
I don't think you binging soap operas is a good idea.
Look,
you're just
going to
become
a
recluse. You're going to start wearing a house coat. You're going to like start baking cookies.
You say that like it's a bad thing, first of all.
Yeah. Well,
I've told people my dream is to be a house husband, and I stand by that. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, it's always an idea.
What else you have?
In 1930, we are jumping around here. I had to use different websites. Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman to become a U.S. Supreme Court justice.
That's good.
Was born in El Paso, Texas.
Hmm.
Yep. And finally,
one more.
What?
Yeah. Hit us with one more.
I'd be glad to. In 1944, you're going to appreciate this one. In fact, I'll let you guess. There was a very famous singer and actress born on this day back in 1944.
1944?
Yes. She was well known for being the leader of a group, but I would dare say even more famous for the solo work that she did afterward in about the 70s, 80s, etc.
Very famous singer and actress.
Also, right up your wheelhouse as well. So it would kind of be awkward if we ended the segment and you'd have no idea who this is.
Very famous singer and actress born in 1944.
Correct.
And she later became a solo act?
Yes. She was famous for...
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
There we go. All right.
And that was on this day.
There we go.
Nice.
In the future, we hope to expand it to on or around this day.
Well, I didn't have enough time to do research for around this day.
Yeah.
So
That was well done, Declan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Let's talk some spring football, shall we? Bit of a weird weekend for the Owls. On Saturday, we got to see spring practice over at the Star Complex in its entirety. They moved the practice indoors because unless you were out of town, you know that the area was dealing with a lot of rain. Torrential downpour. Glorious day, beautiful weather. So they practiced inside at the Star Complex, got there, the quarterbacks are working out, no Clifton McDowell. So we were told that it was not injury related, nothing of that sort, but news broke yesterday. I believe former rival staffer Mike Farrell was the first report that Clifton McDowell has re-entered the NCAA's transfer portal. So there was a tweet out there, and I forget the media outlet, that suggested that it might have been because of eligibility issues that he might have needed a waiver to play. I asked Stan Drayton about that earlier today. Again, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. Stan said that's not the case. He'd received his degree. So I think Mike Farrell reported that he's entering as a grad transfer. So it did take them by surprise. So Clifton McDowell is leaving. So Stan did say that after spring ball, they will look to add another player at that position. So that leaves Temple with Evan Simon, Forrest Brock,
Tyler Douglas,
and Patrick Keller, a walk-on, who they continue to be relatively pleased with, I would say, right? So let's segue this into what we saw, because again, for those of you who might be listening for the first time, we don't get to see practice. We typically see the first 15 minutes, and that is largely for photographers, videographers to get B-roll. They're usually stretching. We got to see practice in its entirety. We're going to get to see practice again this Saturday, right?
Yes.
So that was fun. I mean, it just informs us better as reporters. Again, I get why coaches and programs don't like to put a lot out there. But let's talk about your impressions, guys, from what you saw on Saturday. Let's start with the quarterbacks. All of them put up, like, decent numbers. Again, we will caution or well, I, maybe we'll preempt everything we say with it's early, it's spring ball. They were wearing pads. They weren't really tackling. They sort of were tackling.
They were
ground,
hitting.
Right?
They were hitting.
Couple guys were in non-contact jerseys. Luke Watson. Melvin Ciani. Let's talk the quarterbacks first. Would you guys, just off the top of your heads, what did you guys see? Oh, yeah, that's right. You weren't there, Declan. Declan was preparing
yeah.
for a very important WHIP event called Turns, Temple University Radio Networking Summit, which was very successful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you
Ray
saying
Don
that.
Was there.
Great job.
Very enjoyable event. Remy, are the quarterbacks, so again, no Clifton McDowell, Evan Simon, Tyler Douglas, Patrick Keller, and Forrest Brock. All of them made their share of throws, but give me just in terms of if you were to encapsulate things in one day, again, it's one snapshot of things. What'd you see from the quarterbacks?
It's going to be a long season if they play like they did Saturday during the season. Again, it is early, and these things take time, like connections with receivers, because none of the Ian Stewart might have been the only guy who
Ian Stewart looked very good.
Yeah,
probably
he did.
The highlight of the day, which you say is that one-handed catch.
Yes.
And that was from Forrest Brock, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think there were any guys who were going to play besides Ian Stewart or get significant snaps or are projected to get significant snaps out there besides Ian Stewart. So, you know, the connections and timing and things like that were off all day. Forrest Brock, that was the throw of the day and the catch of the day. It was put in a perfect spot, and Ian Stewart went out there and got it. Great play. Audibly, like, made a noise like when he caught the ball. So, but Tyler Douglas, there's no touch really on any of his passes. And a lot of passes came up short. A lot of passes came up wide. It was just a long day for the quarterbacks. And maybe because of the performance of, you know, the defense and the defensive backs, but defense always comes along quicker than offense does anyway.
Right.
So I don't know if it was because of the fact that the defense was just, you know, further along or if they were just rusty that day, but Saturday just didn't inspire anything in me personally.
Yeah, and it is early. Stan talked about the fact that Tyler's technique had improved a little bit. Looks very mobile.
They
ran some design run stuff for him, and he looks very fast and very athletic. I would agree that I think Evan Simon and Forrest Brock looked like the better throwers.
Yes.
And even Patrick Keller, again, I don't think Patrick Keller is going to start, but I think they like him enough. I mean, again, for a spring practice in late March, again, one practice, all of them got reps. All of them got a fair amount of reps. I think they probably – their reps looked like they were almost evenly divided. Not exactly, but fairly close to it. John Adams, we should add, was in pads and sneakers, wasn't part of any contact drills. Same for Alan Hay. Luke Watson, we mentioned. Grayson Mains was taking snaps at first team reps at center, which was noteworthy. James Famanu was saying some snaps at right tackle. Kevin Terry at left tackle. Eric King at guard. Ian Stewart, looked like the best. And I think this is where they would hope he would be at this point, right? He looked fast. He looked agile, looked strong. CCP, Corey Cascott-Palmer, had that catch where he probably got away with a push-off.
Definitely got away with a push-off. Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that Forrest Brock, you can start to see what they liked about him in a thrower. Like, decent to above-average arm strength. Same thing with Evan Simon. They're working on a lot of things with their timing and stuff like that. I think we all agreed that the defensive backfield looked a heck of a lot better. They just kind of looked the part. You can see where guys like Torrey Richardson, a lot of the safeties that they brought in. What'd you think of the secondary?
The safeties specifically, and it wasn't just one person. It was the whole group. Mm-hmm. Javier Morton was out there flying around. Andrews Keaton was out there flying around. Even Zael Powell came up and made a play at some point during the scrimmages. They were flying around, and they look a lot more athletic than they did on the back end last year. Corners played well. Jalen Lewis in particular was everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. if the ball was coming his way, it was most likely an incompletion. Mm-hmm. He had a sack on a corner blitz, a nickel blitz, because he was playing nickel, or at least in the moment he was playing nickel. Mm-hmm. And he had a sack, and he practically kneed, I think it was Forrest Brock or Patrick Keller, it might have been Patrick Keller in the mm-hmm. face. He immediately regretted it. Like, he picked him up, he went over and picked him up. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. And it was a nice change of pace to watch, you know, a secondary flying around and making plays and getting to the ball and getting after it.
Yeah, they do look a little bit more the part. And again, that's what you'd want to see from a guy who transfers from Arkansas, or a guy like Javier Morton who transfers in from Nebraska, or even like Keaton from Western Carolina. This is what they were looking for, obviously, guys that could come in, contribute, and play right away. Again, long way to go, but I think they look discernibly different. It looked like, you know, I mean, Alex Odom had been playing good football, and he fell off. Mm-hmm. They had defensive backs that had been playing fairly well and fell off. It looked like a bigger and stronger secondary. Again, we'll see what comes of that. Another position group that looked pretty solid, the running backs. Mm-hmm. And we had the chance after practice to talk to Tyree Foreman, Temple's running backs coach. And he, again, I try not to look too much into this, but the coaches do seem to be fairly excited about this whole thing, like we're hitting the reset button. Tyree, as we're done talking to him, walks away and says, "Great seeing you guys. It's going to be fun this year. It's going to be fun." Like, had a little bit of like that Diane Richardson energy about him. Mm-hmm. Tyree wasn't saying that last year when he came back. He's a veteran running backs coach. He really does seem excited about these new backs. I'm not trying to make Antoine Littleton, Jaquez Smith, Tyree Washington, I'm not trying to make these guys out to be like Bijan Robinson or Barry Sanders, but you know, he talked a little bit about how he enjoys that all these guys have their own identity. Antoine Littleton, everybody knows by now, if you followed his career, at one point he weighed close to 300 pounds at Maryland. We had a chance to talk to him. We'll play some audio for you in a second from Tyree Foreman. But Jaquez Smith, he talked about how he might be on the field a little bit more because he's better in pass protection. And again, the longer guys around, the better they get. What did you see from the backs? Because Stan talked a little bit about this today in today's session, that he feels like there hasn't been any lopsided practice yet. That it's not just like, wow, the defense is really super ahead of the offense. Sometimes the defense is getting the better of the play and they're hitting their gaps, and sometimes the offensive line is just moving people, and he likes to see a little bit of both that. What did you see from the back Saturday? Who stood out to you? Because it looked like they were able to move things a little bit and they were running the ball pretty well.
It's not one person I can like pick out in particular that stood out. Jaquez Smith looked really good. He had a nice little, like, I think it was 10-yard run, mm-hmm. and showed off that vision, that patience, that anticipation that you need to, you know, be a good running back. Antoine Littleton, besides his fumble on the goal line, had a really good day. Mm-hmm. And I think he brings that, you know, that power aspect. But not only is he a power back, he looked explosive. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't take him long to get rolling, like mm-hmm. it would take, you know, maybe some other backs.
And he also talked, again, as we listen, as we take one step forward through spring and into preseason camp, I think these coaches are generally pretty honest. They don't like to sound stupid, but they also seem fairly high on E.J. Wilson. Another guy is sitting like, he just looks more confident. Like, without us even really asking too much about him, again, I asked Tyree a little bit later on, and we have video up on the site from that interview. E.J. Wilson, of course, is involved in their kick coverage, but seemed pretty excited about E.J. as well.
He looked good, too. Like, the explosiveness, and you can tell, like, him and Jaquez have a similar running style, mm-hmm. and you could see it. Like, he had one move up the right sideline at one point where I was like, who is that? And mm-hmm. and I looked, and I was like, oh, E.J. Wilson. I kind of forgot about him, but, mm-hmm. you know, I guess he's out there trying to make people, you know, not forget his name and forget who he is, because he had a really good day. Like, mm-hmm. all the running backs really played well.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, we'll have more for you when it comes time to recording again next week. We'll have another open practice to look at. We'll play this clip here. This is when I got the chance to, you know, when reporters got the chance to talk to Tyree Foreman after practice. I asked him about Antoine Littleton and about Jaquez Smith, and this is Tyree talking about those two backs. Again, Antoine Littleton, the transfer from Maryland, and of course, Jaquez Smith, coming in as a true sophomore. Again, saw some action, played really well against Norfolk State, and then you could obviously kind of see him hit a wall through the rest of the season. A lot of issues going on there with an offensive line that wasn't very good. So this is Tyree talking about Antoine Littleton and Jaquez Smith.
How do you think your running backs played today?
It was the first time we got a chance to see him go live. I think we played pretty well. Had some explosive plays, broke some tackles, had a couple mishaps we got to get cleaned up, but, you know, that's what they paid me, I guess.
What have you seen from Antoine specifically? Look like he was getting, I know, like, there's no depth chart and stuff, but look like he was getting some significant reps.
250 pounds. Yeah. You got to find out what he can do. Yeah. So it was good to see him use his physicality and use what God gave him to break some tackles down there. We got to make sure we secure the ball on the goal line because that shouldn't have been another touchdown. But I'm seeing a lot of positive traits.
What about Jaquez, just from him getting into spring ball now? Obviously got some actions at your freshman. Does he look any different to you in the spring?
He does. Last year we kind of guarded him in some past pro situations, and this year a little bit stronger, a little bit more knowledge in the program, and he's able to handle those situations. We're not taking him out on third down.
All right, before we talk a little bit of basketball here and get into the mailbag, let's talk about Pro Day. You guys were there. Again, the one draftable guy, one guy barring any like major setbacks, is going to be Jordan McGee. I think we can fairly say that, I don't know, I'd be shocked if any other Temple player gets drafted. But let's talk first about Jordan McGee. He did decide to run the 40 again, participate in some other drills, looked good again. What did you guys see? You know, we weren't out in Indianapolis at the scouting combine, but up close, what did you see from Jordan?
Same thing that saw at the scouting combine. Yeah. He was able to show off, you know, his athletic prowess, and that's all, you know, combine drills are. And I think he ran the drills that he didn't run at the combine.
Yeah.
And he just added to the resume that he already put up.
Yeah, and you can see all of the interviews. Just as a reminder, you can see all the interviews from Pro Day, from Monday's Pro Day, at alscoop.com. Declan, what did you see from Jordan before we get into some of the other guys? What was your impression of how he performed yesterday?
Yeah, and I kind of asked him about this, but I think a big focus for him, like Mir said, is showing off what he can actually do on the field outside of just, you know, being fast and being agile. And, you know, he showed that not only is he quick, like he's got good awareness, he's got good footwork, which is huge. He's a big guy as well. I think teams are starting to really see, you know, his physicality is obvious on film, no question about it. And he talked about that too. But his just his quickness. And yeah, he's undersized, and he mentioned that. Like John said, go watch the interview. But I do think he really solidified the fact that he would go at least day three. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Stan actually, when we talked to him today,
no later than third round.
He said later than third round, which I honestly, like, I don't agree with, but I do. I could see it. I could see his name being called day two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's no doubt in my mind that he is at least vying for a backup spot come August, September.
Now, again, we're not trying to overrepresent anyone's performance from yesterday, but you guys came out of it thinking that a few other players did help themselves. Again, we're not talking about vaulting themselves necessarily into the draft, but maybe guys that could help themselves in the way of, like, maybe a better chance of becoming an undrafted rookie free agent. Who helped himself yesterday in addition to Jordan McGee?
I think the biggest thing was, and I said this a couple times just in passing, but I think there were a lot of people that walked in that were fans of Jordan McGee and walked out that maybe are keeping an eye on Leighton Jordan now. I think he really showed, you know, we saw this season that he wasn't really playing to his strengths at times. It felt like they were dropping him a lot in coverage, which is not something, a role he thrived in, because he never had to before. Mm-hmm. But he didn't do any defensive line drills. It was all linebacker drills. It was all, you know, showing that footwork. And he looked discernibly better than he had all season. So I think if he really, you know, gets invited to maybe a few camps and does well enough, I think he could have a shot at making a team. I don't think he's going to get drafted, but I do think he has at least more of a possibility. Of all the people that were there yesterday, I think he really bolstered his stock. And another guy that sticks out is Elijah Clark, too, who was already just super athletic, but got to show off some better ball skills than we would see on his film, I think is fair to say. So yeah, those were two guys that really, really stood out.
Off rip, Taiwan Francis, I think he said before or after the, his drills, his mm-hmm. position drills, that teams wanted to see how fast he can run. And the times came out today early in the morning, and I think he ran like a, I think it was a 4.5.
4.69 for Taiwan yeah. Francis.
Okay. He plays faster than that. And I think he showed his, you know, the fluidity in his hips and being able to get in and out of breaks and, you know, different things like that, which I think is going to help. Now, do I think he'll carve out a role for himself, like, on defense early in his career? No. Mm-hmm. But special teams and being able to get up and down the field and being able to, you know, hit people, I think he put – the fact that he can tackle and hit people on film. Mm-hmm. And I did think that he was able to show that he can get up and down the field. Because, like I said, he plays a lot faster than what his time is.
Yeah. Elijah Clark's an interesting one. But we're not bringing any news when we say, if you turn on the tape, he was inconsistent at best mm-hmm. in college. He got beat a lot. Now, again, sometimes when a corner gets beat, it's not – always on the corner. We know that. Maybe they're anticipating safety help they were supposed to get and didn't get. But he measured in yesterday at 6'2", 190 pounds, 7 bench press reps. I don't know what the standard should be for a corner.
It doesn't really matter, to
yeah.
be honest.
38-inch vertical, 9'8 long jump, 4.59 40. Again, not terrible, but you guys thought that he stood out a little bit. Dave Martin Robinson, another yeah. guy that was a pro day yesterday. So
he looked good too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he ran pretty quickly for a tight end as well.
Yeah.
And, you know,
4.7, 140 for David Martin Robinson.
Yeah, and showed off, I think, his physicality and quickness. So, you know, again, another, I think also an important piece of this too, and maybe, you know, maybe this is just me being naive, but there are more opportunities than just the NFL now. You know, the XFL has a pretty big deal. Like, you know, I'm not going to say the Arena Football League because that's, you know, I disagree with that, but...
you disagree with the Arena Football League in general?
No, that it's a... No. I mean, it can be a stepping stone, but I don't yeah. know that it's what these guys are looking for.
Right.
But at least for the XFL, you're getting on, you know, prime channels and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you're putting yourself out there. So I could see some of these guys going, maybe if they don't get to the NFL, like, getting an opportunity at a level like that and showing off. Like, because like you mentioned, Taiwan Francis, like, maybe isn't a guy that popped off, you know, speed-wise in a 40. But if you watch him play, like, he can play. And he can play at different levels. And he is going to be a valuable part of some team at another level. But that isn't necessarily going to show off at a skills combine, you know. So it'll be interesting to see if that is another route. Because, I mean, Isaac Moore got drafted to the USFL last year. You know, yeah. like, it's happened before. So, mm-hmm.
so we do have here's a clip when Declan, when you asked Stan about pro day and some of the guys who helped themselves and just the whole vibe of the day. Here's Stan talking earlier today about just guys that helped themselves and just being in that atmosphere yesterday.
You know, these kids, this is what they dream of, you know, that they always dream of that opportunity just to get a shot at that next level. And those young men went out there and took advantage of that opportunity. And I think they all had found a way to help themselves with their status. Whether they're going to be drafted or free agents or whatever it may be. I know there's a lot of hard work put into their preparation for that day yesterday, and I think they did a great job of executing when their numbers were called out there. And so that's the piece of it. I know what they've been through. I know how much they've wanted an opportunity like this, and I know the work that they put into it. And to see them actually go out there and execute it yesterday when the stage was huge was beautiful to see. So,
again, we'll have more coverage for you guys over the next several days. Again, unless plans change, we'll have another open practice to take a look at this coming weekend, which we're always excited about. Again, the more we can see, the more insight that we can pass along to all of you. Nothing new really on the women's basketball front in terms of comings and goings with the transfer portal. We will continue to emphasize to people that, you know, a lot of times in conversations with your friends and people who hate the transfer portal and NIL, it really is like free agency and there are kind of waves to this. So if nobody has left Temple, let's look at the women's team, for example, left via the portal or come in via the portal, doesn't mean much by now. I mean, it could mean something in the sense that, yeah, obviously Diane's losing some players, and it could mean that they are going to hopefully retain, if you're looking at it from their point of view, whoever else they want to retain. And as more teams play in the postseason and bow out, players start to make more of their decisions. This is very much not finished by any means. Men's basketball, since we last recorded, as we predicted, Deuce Roberts, Emmanuel Okpomo, Ataj Thwaite, all entered the portal. I think that's about what the staff would have expected as well. As of now, everyone that you would think that they will probably want to retain has been retained. But again, it is Tuesday, March 26th. We'll see. I would say that I think that Hysier Miller is the key to a lot of things. I think if you can retain Hysier Miller, he becomes a little bit of a focal point and a little bit of a change agent there, where if Hysier stays, it could encourage a lot of other guys to say. It's not to say that NIL isn't important, because it is, but I think if you can now retain Hysier Miller, that's a big deal. We've been saying all season long that he's probably a better player than he had been showing when other things are starting to go well around him. Again, wow, what a shocker. Like, starts playing better. We can see that he's a better player than people were giving him credit for. So Deuce Roberts, Emmanuel Okpomo, Taj Thwaite, all entering the portal. We will talk a little bit more basketball in the mailbag here in a second. Initially, we will keep any sourced, well-sourced stuff that we have about the portal, anything that's sourced on our basketball message board, just to give our subscribers first shot at that. There are some names out there that we could throw out there. I don't think that anything is imminent. But again, I think that generally speaking, I could say that the staff is trying to be fairly discernible and patient at this point when you're in the portal. And some weeks, some days, given time, space, and everything, they have to act quickly. But I don't know that anything will be imminent yet. I think it's fair to say that if things hold true, they're looking for another ball handler, another big. And I know it's a draft thing, but maybe best player available, whether that's a wing scorer, another big. But I think getting another ball handler, another point guard, would be very, very important to them. There are some names out there, again, sometimes on our message board, people will say, what about this person? What about that person? If we have well-sourced stuff, we'll put it out there. Otherwise, sit tight. We'll have more for you in the coming days.
Look, guys, if that's not a good reason to subscribe, I don't know what is. What are you doing? Go subscribe.
Well said, Declan.
Thank you.
Well said.
Thank you.
Let's go to the mailbag here. We'll do one last quick check into the message boards here to make sure. We'll start with this one. From Ripple Owl to start us off. This is an OwlScoop.com subscriber. Does the board extend Fisher, Adam Fisher? I don't think they're talking anything about Adam Fisher's contract after 1 year. I think if you're part of Temple's administration, you're excited by the way the team played down the stretch and what Adam Fisher and his staff were able to get out of those players. Again, we've talked, of course, by now, several days ago, how remarkable that run was to be one game away from going to the NCAA tournament. But no, I don't think there are any contract talks going on right now. Another mailbag question here from Temple22 from our OwlScoop.com subscribers. In years prior, the end of the season, like the one we just witnessed, would give the staff and fans feelings of encouragement and hope heading into the summer and next season. How much of that has changed in the NIL portal era, where there is going to be so much roster turnover every year? Yeah, I think the short answer is a lot of it's changed, because the days of you bring in a guy as a freshman, redshirting isn't quite as common in basketball as it is in football, but you bring in a guy as a freshman, and we don't have to look back too far. You know, you look at a guy like, there are several Temple guards like Shiz Alston, like Khalif Wyatt, like Will Cummings, who I think was one of the more underrated guards to ever play here, did not do much as freshmen. Then they make that discernible step sophomore, junior, senior year. What's changed now, Temple 22, as you know, you've been a longtime subscriber of the site, you know your basketball. Every year now, what has changed is, you're right, there's going to be roster turnover every year, and the first core piece of it is making sure that you can keep everybody home. So if you are Adam Fisher and his staff, it's retaining Hysier Miller. it's retaining a guy like Zion Stanford, who played some really good basketball down the stretch. You can no longer just like kick your feet up and say, wow, can't wait to see what Zion Stanford does here as a sophomore, see what he does as a junior, see what he does as a senior. I'm not saying that Zion Stanford won't stay all 4 years, but it is literally a year-to-year existence, and it has really made college sports more like pro sports. I think that's the biggest thing that's changed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard to disagree with that. But I think you can feel confident in what a staff does and less in the team, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because anymore with the one constant is going to be the coaches, unless they're doing a bad enough job that they get taken away too. So I think that's where, if you're a Temple fan, you put your faith in Adam Fisher and less in the roster, if that makes sense. Because you saw what he could do with a team that he had for just 1 year that, you know, for most of the season was just kind of thrown together and trying to find what works. So especially with so many people coming to the program late, I think you put your faith in Adam Fisher and hope that, you know, regardless of who stays and who goes, that he can put something together for the team similar to how he did in that last month.
Yeah. Couple more from the message board here. The next one comes from the screen name Father Judge. Any news on the quote-unquote BB investigation? I'm sure he's referring to the U.S. Integrity investigation. No. Nothing new, nothing reputable that I have heard. So literally nothing new there. Anything else would be speculation.
Yeah.
But no, nothing new on that front. Another question here from the screen name Temple Fan Al. Several American Athletic Conference teams are losing starters in the portal. For example, UAB, Charlotte, and Wichita State. Is Temple poised to be an American Athletic Conference contender next year? I think the most direct and perhaps also the most boring answer is we don't know yet. Could Temple be poised to be a contender next year? I'd be shocked if they're not better. I'd be shocked if they're maybe not much better. Mm-hmm. If they can retain everybody who they want to retain, and you add Dylan Battee and Aiden Tobias, and again, knowing all the way that they are freshmen and true freshmen coming in, if you can add a capable point guard and a big, could they be a contender? Yeah, I don't see why not. Do they win the league next year? No, probably not. But, yeah. You know, look at what they did this year, catching lightning in a bottle and actually learning to believe in themselves. Again, a lot of what we talked about last week sounded like intangible, sounded fluffy, sounded like lines out of a movie, the whole together. Again, it sounds like a cheesy tagline, but they kind of lived it. And like we said last weekend, or like we said last week, that those two or three games, you know, when they were on TV, off of ESPN Plus, and then ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, it was like a walking commercial for Adam Fisher, and you could tangibly see what he was talking about in the huddle. So I think they have a lot to build on, but they could be more in line of an AAC contender next year if everything holds true. Absolutely. Do they win the league? No. But again, we'll have to see what that roster looks like. We know that barring anything unforeseen, Dylan Battee, Aiden Tobias, and our sign, you're bringing in a big that should be able to help you right away. You're bringing in a guy in Aiden Tobias who can really shoot the ball, needs to get stronger, but he was the state player of the year in Delaware. We can agree he's a very good basketball player. We've talked about that for the last several months. Really have to see before I can answer that question who they retain in the portal and who they get in the portal.
As fun as it is to talk about that winning streak and how impressive it was, we saw in the championship game there's a very obvious ceiling on this team. Like they need to get better. And with it being so early, we just don't know. First of all, we don't know who's going to be here, like you mentioned. And second of all, we don't know how they're going to shape up and look next season. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it is possible. We said it wasn't possible this year, and it was, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard not to give them the benefit of the doubt moving forward, having seen what they can do against some pretty, you know, good teams. But I just think, you know, like you mentioned, too far out, but also they need to get some, at least one to two better players in before I'm willing to say anything like that.
Yeah. One more question on the message board here before we jump into Twitter from Detroit Al, another longtime subscriber. Are we expecting any other players to jump into the portal, both basketball and football? As of now, I don't know. It's too hard to say. I don't think it's a bad sign on Tuesday, March 26th, that you didn't lose Zion Stanford, Hysier Miller, you know, Jordan Riley, Steve Settle, Matteo Piccarelli. I'd be surprised if Matteo Piccarelli and Steve Settle don't stick around. Are we expecting anything? No, I mean, there's nothing that's gnawing at my gut right now that says, like, it's just a matter of time before player X, player Y, player Z enters the portal. Football, it's just way too soon to tell. I mean, there will be more guys, again, like Stan mentioned it today, there's another portal window, that's open. But football's not done yet. I mean, that's after spring ball. Again, the coaches have more hard conversations with guys. Here's how you did at the end of the season. Here's how you did in the spring. If you feel like you want to start, it's probably not going to be here. We can help you get somewhere else. There will be more football roster movement. I can't say as of now that I am very much anticipating movement on either roster. Again, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, nothing surprises me anymore, but there's nothing, again, that's gnawing at my gut where I say I think it's imminent that they're going to lose that guy or that person. I don't know how you feel about this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, football, like you mentioned, there's always going to be movement, especially with, you know, the money landscape. Who knows who's going to be looking for somebody off of a spring roster, seeing what's put on tape and whatnot. But basketball, there has to be, I feel like there's going to be at least one other person and probably a key piece that transfers. I just can't put my finger on who I think it's going to be. But I do think it'll probably be, you know, closer to that May, June sort of window where it's in the summer type thing.
You're saying for football?
For basketball.
For basketball. Okay.
I just think gut feeling. There might be one more piece, but okay. I'm not sure who it'll be.
To close things out in the mailbag, Declan, this could be a blessing and a curse.
What's that?
One of our most loyal listeners has become Bridget Landis, a.k.a. your mother. Mama Landis 5 on Twitter. And again, Mrs. Landis, haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet. I think I waved to her once when they were coming by to pick you up.
That's correct, yes.
On campus. So
that's correct.
You've raised a wonderful son. Looking forward to meeting you in person at some point. Really appreciate you listening to The Scoop. We would give Johnny more of a voice. I think we've made some progress over the last couple of weeks where that's concerned. Johnny's not here
right
today. But I think Johnny has been anything but voiceless over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We listened, right?
Yes.
Did we not listen?
I think we've gotten better as a team in general of just listening to each other. You know, I think I think it's really, really sparked a conversation in the Owl Scoop group. So thank you, Mom.
I don't know what you're laughing about.
I know.
We're getting better as a workplace.
We're getting better.
I don't think you're taking it seriously enough, you know?
Because you always know how to just fluff up some of these lines. And then when I laugh, you're like, yeah, see, you're doing it. You know what you're doing. Two questions, not one, but two questions from your mother. First one, coming in hot with this question. What's the point of covering spring football? Wouldn't it be more beneficial to cover other Temple sports and promote these teams during their season? Well, no, fair question.
No, it is.
My wife has asked me, like, why, how do you guys cover the offseason? Why do you cover the offseason? And I don't want to make your mother's question sound like it's so far out of left field.
Not.
I'm not
it's
trying
a great
to, like,
I didn't know that's the one she
like.
Went
I've had this conversation with Chelsea. Like, she went to Rowan as an undergrad, then went to Syracuse for grad school, but as a grad student, you're not like fully immersed in, like, you're not like a Syracuse undergrad. But why? So I've had this conversation before. Why do we cover spring football? Good question. Mainly because that's where you can look at roster battles. And for a program like Temple, and really for any program now where there's so much roster movement because of all the things we've just talked about with NIL and the transfer portal, it's like covering an NFL offseason. The season really does, as cliche as it sounds, the season never sleeps. So if we didn't cover spring football, we would be very ill-equipped to cover the team during preseason ball when it comes around in August. So that's why you cover spring football. You get to learn more about the roster movement and stuff like that. And you cover it, too, because people care. You know, like, we look at our numbers. Probably some of the most down times in terms of our numbers leveling off a little bit, is like that May, June time where we're still podcasting, we're still covering stuff, we're still covering recruiting, but we're doing more evergreen features and stuff like that, doing as much as we can. People care about spring football. I mean, like, they put, Temple's not one of these programs, but, you know, major networks will cover and broadcast live, you know, spring football games. So we cover it because people care about it. We would not be opposed to address the second part of our question. We're not opposed to covering some non-revenue stuff. We've had a soccer coach on before. We'll talk non-revenue stuff. If one of the men's or women's soccer teams, lacrosse team, if they go on a little bit of a run, we will talk about that stuff. But I'll turn it over to you so you can speak directly to your mother on this question.
Like I said, I thought it was a good question. I know we were workshopping a little bit, and she was like, why do you even cover spring football? And I wasn't sure if that was just directed at me, but I said, oh, that's a great question. And then she went with it, which I loved. But I think we do a lot of, I think different outlets do different things, you know? And I think, whereas Owl Scoop, you know, we're more focused on the revenue sports, you know, over at the Temple News. My mom knows this. She knows what we do, but we cover everything. Yeah. So, you know, I think different outlets focus on different audiences. And for Owl Scoop, it's more the, you know, football, basketball recruiting and things like that, which I think aligns mostly with, you know, our parent company, Rivals. So I think that's another key thing there as well.
Her second question, what Philadelphia sports legends would you put on Mount Rushmore? So again, you guys thought you were going to trick me in saying how many – well, no, I should say last week I said there are four faces on Mount Rushmore. Right. Then Kyle thought I wasn't going to be able to name all four of them.
You didn't really know? Like we could
I did,
but
I worked it out, though. I worked it out. I just needed to speak it into existence. So,
yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It was touch and go. But I was prepped for this question.
Four Philadelphia sports legends on Mount Rushmore. So give me your four.
So we actually had this debate this weekend when I called. You know, weekly call, touch base with the fam. Mm-hmm. We actually had this discussion. I think my dad said Dr. J, which I'm between Dr. J and AI. I don't think you have both, but I think you have one.
Let me ask you this question, because I don't want to put any limits on this. If you want, you could put, I'm not saying you're going to, I don't know that you have to go one Flyer, one Sixer, one Philly, one Eagle. You go four Sixers if you wanted to. I'm not saying I would do that.
Right.
Like, did you guys have that conversation from like what each of the four teams have to be represented, or is it just the four best?
I think it was just four best.
Okay.
You know, I don't think you should shoehorn. I mean, that's not what Philly does, you know. Mm-hmm. The people of Philadelphia generally make their own rules, you know. Mm-hmm. Very, you know. So I think I don't think that anything of that applies. But we did have the conversation of, is it just sports or is it the city of Philadelphia? So, you know, you're putting Ben Franklin on there. You know, you're putting people of that nature.
This is Philadelphia sports legends.
Okay, so it is sports legends.
Yes.
Okay.
What Philadelphia sports legends would you put on Mount Rushmore?
See, it's tough because I didn't really watch Dr. J, you know? So I'm going to say Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, my dad said this, and I agree with him, Bobby Clark. I think
if you're going to go Flyer, yeah.
Yeah. I just think in general. He was so influential, you know, with the Broad Street Bullies, you know, that kind of.
Yeah.
I just think that.
Helped him win some
that
cops.
That era of Philly sports, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that makes
sense.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
sense.
they haven't won a cop since the 70s, but yeah, he brought an identity. People forget that the Flyers were an expansion team that came here and.
Yeah,
I don't know the exact year. 68? Late 60s. And they just quickly formed a bond with the city. And Bobby Clark was at the heart of that. Some people will debate how good he was as an executive. But
also had diabetes, so love him, you know. My brother has diabetes, so. Eagle is tough for me because, you know, I don't really care, to be honest with you. Sorry. Like, you know, that's just a personal opinion. But I think, you know, for the Eagles fans out there, I think it would be funny to say Doug Peterson, you know, but like, because you would think it's somebody off the Super Bowl team. So then, what, Jason Kelce? But like, I think that's too recent. Like, I think that's recency bias.
I think we'll finish out. So you're going with. I want to make sure we get your four. You're going Dr. J.
No, Allen Iverson.
Oh no, sorry, Allen Iverson.
Bobby Clark. I'm gonna say Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce.
That could be my recency bias talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm gonna say. Oh, this is tough because my Ryan Howard bias is peeking through. I'm going to say either Chase Utley or J-Roll. Give me J-Roll. Give me Jimmy Rollins.
Okay. I would also go with Jimmy Rollins. Could very easily go with Ryan Howard. Could very easily go with Chase Utley. But if you're looking at that 2008 team, and what preceded it, Jimmy Rollins was that guy that kind of brought in the swagger.
Well, he was the backbone of that team.
Yeah. I go J-Roll. if it's the Eagles, sure, you have a ton of great Eagles that you could choose from. But if you're going to say, okay, what's the year they won the Super Bowl? I think if you say Nick Foles, it's almost sort of like sports talk radio-ish.
It is very sports talk radio.
And again, I'm not downplaying what he did. He was the quarterback on a Super Bowl winning team when people thought they were dead in the water after Carson Wentz got hurt. I think Kelce works because he did it over a long period of time. We don't know for sure, but he's probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yes, we are fresh off of his emotional retirement speech, but he did it over a long period of time.
He also revolutionized that position.
Yeah, you know? In terms of his athleticism, getting downfield.
Size, speed, that kind of thing. Yep. Yeah.
So I go J-Roll. I go Kelce. I go Bobby Clark as well. I think I would go... I don't think Allen Iverson's a bad pick by any means, because you could say that he was just as iconic in his own right in terms of the bond. I would say that he connected... You're comparing eras, which people love to do in NBA debates.
Yeah.
You know, Javon loves doing that.
Yeah, I don't. I can't. I'm not very good at it.
I'm going to go Dr. J, because he did bring the city a championship. And in 83, that team was so good. They swept the Lakers. They had people in the Boston Garden chanting, beat LA, because they just knew the Sixers were discernibly better. And you had a rabid basketball fan base chanting for the Sixers, beat LA, beat LA. And then they go out there and they sweep them. Like, that was just a really, really cool thing. Now I'm going to sound like the guy's comparing errors. The game was more physical than...
Oh, my goodness.
It was. But Dr. J was really good. But I could... If I didn't go Dr. J, I would very easily go Allen Iverson.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think there's a right option over the other either.
But here's the other person who I could... If you talked to me tomorrow, I would feel differently. I think Dawn Staley absolutely, absolutely, absolutely deserves consideration.
Yes.
Because... She played at Dobbins, 22nd in Lehigh, played at the University of Virginia. You look at what she did to get her coaching career started at Temple, winning national championships now at South Carolina. Also, let's not overlook the fact that not only was she an Olympian, she carried the U.S. colors into the stadium, not just for her team, but for
the entire
America,
country.
Period.
Yep.
And I think she has just become... such a force. So
it's a great pick.
I could duck me on a different day. I sub her in and bump Bobby Clark out.
Yeah. I actually would bump Jason Kelce first.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I mean, she's like, if you know your fabled five person Mount Rushmore actually existed. I think
it's the only way to find Sailor's just get a hammer and a chisel and just get to work. And
I mean, they always said it's unfinished anyway, so you might as well just put one more up there.
I don't know what kind of pool you have in Washington. Proper permits.
Zero. I can't.
Just imagine you just working your way up there and like how.
I also don't have the patience. You know, I wouldn't be able to deal with carving into rock and whatnot. I'm not very good with my
afraid
hands.
Of heights.
I'm afraid of heights.
A lot of things working against you.
A lot
you
of things
here.
Working against me.
Today, I go Clark, Bobby Clark, Jason Kelce, Julius Erving, Jimmy Rollins. Tomorrow, I could go Dawn Staley.
You've talked me out of Jason Kelce. I'm putting Dawn Staley.
Mm.
You've talked me out of Jason Kelce. You know, he's great, but I think Dawn has done more for the country, for women's basketball, for the city of Philadelphia. And Jason Kelce.
If I bump into him at the Eagle Road Havertown Wawa, I will
tell him I said that. Go ahead.
I'm sure I'll be.
She's a legend. What's he gonna do to me? You know, she's a legend.
Like I said, our podcast has a similar number. It's only a matter of time before we join forces with New Heights.
I will gladly debate him about this, but I think it would be hard not to agree with that, in my opinion, because like we said, it's a toss up.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff, Mrs. Landis. Appreciate you listening.
Thank you, Mom.
Appreciate all
Thank
the,
you, Dad,
the
as well.
Wonderful work you did as a parent and raising such a fine young man.
I appreciate you saying that.
So,
even though different story off air, but I appreciate you saying that on air.
Different story off air. That's not true. Thanks once again to all of you for listening, joining us for another episode. We'll have more spring football, any recruiting news that breaks next week. So stay tuned. Again, we got a lot of good coverage coming up this week on the site. More spring football. Again, any recruiting news that breaks via the transfer portal. So I hope you guys are all having a great, happy, and healthy spring. We'll talk to you soon.